Who is a Christian? When is a man a Christian? What would a Christian look like? We can turn to the Bible, and especially to the book of Acts, for a wonderful description of a Christian. We are now studying in the book of Acts in chapter 24, and if we will turn to verses 14 to 16, we have what I would call a classic description of a Christian. It's Paul speaking about himself. Let me read those verses to you. In Acts 24, verses 14 to 16. Listen to this. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. In a remarkable way, we have here four characteristics that are to be found in any normal Christian experience. And I think they follow each other in a logical way that is amazing. The first one is worship. So worship I the God of my fathers. The next one is faith. Believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. The next is hope. And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And the fourth one is love. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. This, then, I would think is the true character of a Christian. Now, of course, we know that so far as a person being a Christian is concerned and becoming a Christian, the person who becomes a Christian is the person who becomes a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will remember how we read in the book of Acts that the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And so we will say, with reference to a Christian, so far as his origin is concerned, that it's a person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. So far as his spiritual condition is concerned, we could say about a Christian that he's a man in whom God is working according to his promises in Christ Jesus by his grace. And that would be adequate. But as to what he looks like, how could you tell when looking at him as to whether or not a person is a Christian? I think you would need to look first at his worship. What does he consider is the most important thing in the world? Where would he put his first loyalty, his highest esteem? And I think you would also be inclined to look and see, what does he believe? In what does he put his trust? And then I think you would also be inclined to look and see, what is he hoping for? What is he expecting to come to pass? And finally, how does he act toward other people? What's his conduct like? These four characteristics, I think, are basically important, and they are true so far as the normal Christian is concerned. First, the matter of worship. You know, worship, the word worship, may very well have come from two words, worth-ship, and has a bearing on what you esteem to be important. Anything that you lift up as the most important thing in your life, the most important thing in your consciousness, that which has the first claim upon you in your love and your loyalty, will be that toward which you give yourself in worship. Worship includes the idea that you esteem, you greatly respect and you highly esteem. It has in it also the idea that you adore. You think it's wonderful, the most wonderful of all. Now, generally speaking, we usually associate the word worship with a church building. We commonly think of worshiping in a cathedral, and of course, a cathedral would be a house of worship, and a church building would be a house of worship. And then sometimes we use the word worship in connection with services. And we think that the Sunday morning service in the church at 11 o'clock, and we say that's a service of worship. And we come over to a weeknight prayer meeting at the church, and we actually meet to fellowship with God in prayer, and we'll say that that's a period of worship. And all that is true. But when you actually come down to it, you see, people can worship other things than God. Not everybody worships the God of the Bible. There are some people who worship money. They really do. What does that mean? It means they think it's the most important thing in the world. How would you know that? Well, when money is involved, money gets first call. They would do anything if they make money. They will do anything to save money. There are people who think more about money than they think about virtue. They'll lie to save money. They'll steal to get money. That means they love money. They will serve money. They will suffer to get money. They'll work hard and unnecessarily long and strain themselves in every way to get hold of their money. They won't give any of it away. They won't help the poor. They won't give anything to those who are needy because they want to save their money. Because of that money. So you see, you can worship money. But money isn't the only thing you can worship. You can worship pleasure. There are people who will do anything to have a good time. There are people who think more about pleasure than they think about the Lord. Worship lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. There are people who would rather go to a ball game than go to a prayer meeting. It's very natural. I can understand it. But remember, one reason I can understand it is because I'm a human being. And that part in me is just as weak as it sounds. But really. Now, when you're thinking about the fact that so far as worship is concerned, and I've just said you can worship money, you can worship pleasure, you can worship power. You can just be so interested in becoming prominent that you want more than anything else to become more prominent than anybody else. And then you can worship that. I don't know how much I want to go on with this. I think it's possible that some people worship their business. How would I know that? Well, they'll give it all the time they've got. First time and all the time. And some man will say to me, well, I just got to put time in my business. I know you do. You're supposed to put 6 days out of seven in your business. And I will venture to say that if you and I will put 6 days out of seven in our business, our business will get a real good treatment. And that's the way in which it's to go. Nothing wrong about that. And that's not worshiping the business. But when you give the 7 days over to the business, and all your time, there are people think more of their business than they think of their family, more of their business than they think of their children, more of their business than they think of the church. You can tell it this way. They will leave the church to go to a business meeting. They'll leave the family to go to a business meeting. And if you say to me, well, I've just got to, that's the point. You've just got to because it has first call on you. Now, this is various kinds of worship, and I could spend more time on it, but let me say just now, with reference to the true Christian, as Paul was, he said, so worship I the God of my fathers. He didn't just worship God like any God. He didn't just worship God and think God was wonderful according to anybody's idea. The God of his fathers, God would be creator like the one who created Adam. He would be the judge like the one who judged Adam. He would be, again, the judge like the one who sent the flood. He would be the savior like the one who saved Noah out of the flood. He would be the one who had promised as he promised Abraham. He would be the one who went along with him and helped him as he helped Moses. Worshipping the God of our fathers would mean he would worship the God of Samuel and the God of Elijah and the God of Daniel and the God of the apostles, Peter and James and John and Paul, and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible. And the apostle Paul worshipped the God of the Bible. This, I'm going to claim, is a trait of the real Christian. Believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets draws attention to his faith. This does not mean so much in my mind that he believed it was all accurate, which I think it was. But more than that, he believed the promises that were in there. When he believed the things that were written in the law and in the prophets, he believed that if a man did right, God would bless him. if he did wrong, God would curse him. If he believed the things that were written in the law and the prophets, he would have an idea and understanding. He should come to worship God. He should bring a sacrifice to worship God. He should be sincere and he should mean it. He should be repentant when he comes. Those things are written in the law and the prophets. Also, if he was expecting that God would dwell with him, that would be part of it. He would believe that God would come to live among his people. That's in the law and in the prophets. I will be a father unto them, and they shall be my children, saith the Lord God Almighty. This is what's included in becoming a Christian. And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection. A Christian person expects a resurrection. This world is not everything. There is another world coming. Everybody is going to be raised from the dead. Everybody is going to stand consciously in the presence of God to render an account for the deeds done in the body. And love. Herein do I exercise myself. I actually put myself to work on this thing, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. That is to say, he would undertake in everything he did to try and act in such a way as to give no offense to God and to give no offense to man. You can actually get a picture of that, if you will, in the Ten Commandments themselves. No offense toward God would mean, among other things, that you would have no other gods before me, and that you would worship the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. It would mean that you would not take God's name in vain. It would mean that you would honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That would be no offense toward God. And toward men, it would mean, with reference to men, there will be those that are above you, you would respect them. There would be those who are your equals, you would consider them. There would be those who are below you in society and are dependent upon you, you'd be charitable to them. And showing respect and consideration and charity, you would conduct yourself in such a way as to give no offense to men. This is Christian. And so we have here in Acts 24, verses 14 to 16, this classic description of a Christian. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to yield ourselves to Thee and to the truth, that we might walk in Thy ways and actually belong to those who put their trust in Thee. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.